Two people.
Ola.
I have 237, Ola. 26.
Committee meeting will come to order at 8:36, 2nd of May. In attendance, Representative Fuller, Representative Martin, Representative Gusendorf, and myself, Representative Miller. First item on the business today is House Bill 21, an act relating to home sites and metrics. Do we have anyone here to testify? Take a seat and state your name and who you work for, please.
My name is Lauren Jones, and I work for Representative Peter Galt, sponsor of the bill. In the Finance Committee, there was a change to the definition of veteran. When the committee substitute was sent over to legal for drafting, the drafter sent back a notification that because the definition had a residency requirement in it, it may be unconstitutional. When it was brought back to the Finance Committee, they said that if Peter wanted to have it amended, it should be done down here in rules. We have submitted the amendment that would take out the residency requirement out of the definition of veteran. That's the only change that's requested in the bill.
Okay. I do have one question, which we just brought up. On line 25D, the dates there between August 4th, 1964 and November 7th, 1975, was discussed in resources that the dates they thought at that particular time should have been 61. It seems like there was later discussions at that time. If you would just clarify if you remember that, those discussions regarding the dates.
There have been several discussions of dates. I believe Representative Cotton in the Finance Committee also raised that, and he pulled, I think it was 10 different definitions out of the statutes. And chose the first one, which had this particular definition. This does coincide with the federal definition of what was the wartime during the Vietnam War.
So it is the federal definition.
That's correct. It does qualify under that. And the basic intent of this legislation was only for those veterans who had served during time of combat.
Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman, I still worry about the constitutionality, I understand, between those that served in the term of conflict and those that are serving peace. And of course, in the last 10 years, you have many veterans that have been in duty that were just volatile and dangerous to them and hazardous as those who served in the Korean War when I did. And I just, if we're going to do it, I feel we should do it equally to all veterans, and those that are serving peace today are just as important as those that actually serve in a conflict. It still borders on discrimination as to what time you served.
Well, is the Federals discriminating? Are the Federals discriminating? We're in compliance with the federal definition, are we not?
It depends on what program. To your VA rights, there's certain VA rights in hospitals and all that you're allowed more so in wartime than you are in peacetime, which is understandable. And it depends on what particular program they're offering.
Mr. Chairman, in reviewing the definitions that Representative Cotton had pulled from the statutes, there are many, many different definitions in our current statutes for different programs that define different terms. What is a veteran, how long they've served, how long they've lived in Alaska, what periods of time they served, and I don't believe that any of those have been challenged.
Right. Because we recently changed one, Mr. Chairman, I think 2 years ago, what did Jack, on the Alaskan Guard to allow them to participate in various programs. And I think that was a step forward to make everybody a little more equal, because those that were in National Guard add up a lot of more years sometimes than some people who served 180 days and got discharged. And especially in the last 10 years. Also, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd like to discuss the fiscal note. It looks rather low, and I don't know how you can guess how many would participate or if there's a how many requests there have been. Could you give us an update on how many requests you have from veterans and what stimulated the bill?
The bill was put in at the request of the citizens from Haines, who is here. The fiscal note was prepared by the Department of Natural Resources. Med was just here a minute ago. I believe that what they did at the time was they looked at the number of veterans that were currently participating in the home site program. And this is a very specific program. It's not the general land disposal, and it's not the homestead. It's a specific, which lowers down the number of participants. Then there were the number of participants that may have served during a wartime. Being that it's a home site and you have to live on it, you have to build property, there was some thought that those from World War I probably would not participate, that some of those from World War II might not participate. Other than that, Ned could probably speak to how they came up with the fiscal note. But I think they generally determined that there were fees of around $2,500 for the survey, and that was what would be waived under this.
Any further questions?
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to testify on House Bill 21?
Leo Land, Haynes, veteran, and representing the American Legion. On the constitutionality about the 1 year residency, I don't see much difference in state loans where you got 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. They can come and establish residency for 1 year and qualify for some loans, 2 years, some loans. Why are they so worried about this being unconstitutional? That's the only thing I want to comment about. We do have their student loans, so that's a requirement. So I don't see much difference.
Mr. Chairman, is there anybody from the AG's office on this?
I don't believe so.
And I have just one other comment then. I'm not going to object to anything at this point, time-wise. Anything that the committee does to get it through on the floor of voting and into the Senate is fine with me. We can do a little battling like a lot of other things going on.
Well, you know, I'm afraid that they just ragged the hell out of that. I mean, if it doesn't give you too much heart, we can get this thing passed.
That's the way that's my feelings.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, on the residency, the one that was really challenged was student loan for students and residency for 2 years. And of course, that one did go through court, and I sat at all three hearings. And in a way, it was lucky that it was an out-of-state judge, because after reviewing the program, he said that this thing was so lucrative, so meaningful to the state, that the state did have a responsibility because of it adding up in 4 years being $24,000 per person, and because of our limited opportunities of education here in state, that we had the right to protect that only Alaskans who lived here under 2 years, and he even said 5 years, as lucrative as this program would be acceptable by the courts. Then we go on the other extreme where permanent fund dividends are 6 months residency. So in this case here, I would suspect if you put it 1 year, and especially in the last 10 years, all of our veterans not being able to participate, and if you say it's averaging 2,500 a survey, I think a lot of our friends in the American Legion are just going to say, holy cane. Not too often in my Legion shop do we argue about who was in war and who wasn't.
That's right. So. And, you know, on the residency, of course, we go to the other program, the longevity bonus, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
They always change in 6 months a year. Is that all then, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, is this House Bill 21 amended? accepting this amendment.
Yes, well, we need to accept the Rules Committee substitute, which would amend it.
Okay. I move that we accept the Rules Committee substitute.
I thought we'd go through the bill since Representative Gooseberg is out of the room and we'll have to.
Oh, we don't have a quorum.
Right.
Can we get Representative Gooseberg in here for a minute, please?
He can just stand by the door and leave.
Oh, well, we can just go through the, just then he moves.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Thank you. Next, we have HCR 31, proposing amendment to the uniform rules of Alaska State Legislature to include the Pledge of Allegiance as a part of the daily order of business. Is there anyone here to testify on it?
No.
Seeing none, is there any discussion on it?
Mr. Chairman, well, when the chair speaker comes on.
Okay, seeing none, we'll pass on to the next, HCR 26, proposing amendments to Rule 23 of the Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature relating to committee meetings and providing for an effective date. This is the second committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 26 rule. What we have done there, we've added or legislative teleconference center on page 1, line 21. Which was one of the amendments proposed during the floor debate. And then we also deleted the word full-time on page 1, line 21, during open or after open. And that was the amendment number 1, which did pass, Jerry. Is there any discussion on that?
Mike Davis sounds way down.
Okay. Seeing none, we'll go on to Health Bill 237. Seems familiar. First, I'd like to have Representative Fox.
Yeah. Is this the midwifery bill?
No, this is pension. Continued. The slide continues.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Don Clarkson, and I'm here urging action on House Bill 237. I did not sit through the entire meeting, the last meeting, and I understand there were some technical questions about the committee substitute. I am now informed that there is still another proposed substitute being drafted by the bill drafters, and based on that, I guess I'm going to request that the committee hold the bill over one more day. Changes appear to be substantial, if not substantive. But I thought what I'd do is take just a few moments here to try to explain the basic concept of the bill rather than getting wrapped up in the technical changes. As you probably know by now, the federal law, the Retirement Equity Act of 1984, amended the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, ERISA, to require that for private pension plans, and I'm putting this as simply as possible, the spouse of a member must consent to a decision not to provide survivor benefits in that retirement plan. Basically, the two alternatives presented to someone are either higher monthly retirement benefits and no survivor benefits for a surviving spouse, or lower monthly payments and a survivor benefit, so that the worker has the choice of either getting a lower monthly payment when he or she retires if they want their surviving spouse to have retirement benefits as well. That is a choice made. The federal law required that choice be with the consent of the other spouse. The reason for that is the perception widely held, and correctly so, that often survivor's benefits are signed away by the worker without the knowledge of the other spouse, and that the result is surviving spouses who have no survivor benefits and are therefore economically harmed by the decision to not provide survivor benefits. At any rate, federal law applies to private employment in the state. It is effective. It is binding. The supplemental benefits system is being revised to implement this. The only systems left in the state that don't provide this benefit are those that are affected by this bill. Public employee retirement system, teacher retirement system, National Guard, all of those. So this bill would bring those systems in conformity with all the private retirement systems in the state and with the supplemental benefits system. It is good legislation. The intent of the legislation is to protect the spouse of a worker to assure that he or she will at least be knowledgeable as to the benefit decisions made by the worker. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I cannot answer the technical questions, and I apologize that we do not have a final committee substitute for your action, and I will personally work with the people to try to get the technical questions taken care of. It's a long bill simply because there are a large number of sections to be amended to implement what I've just described to you, but really it's the concept is fairly basic.
We will hold House Bill 237 until next week, which will probably be in this region. And we have one other item of business to take up. It's a letter of intent for committee substitute, House Bill 288, Judiciary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here to talk for Representative Herman, and you have the letter intent. Does everyone have their letter intent? It should be. I had it highlighted for you. On the first page, the second paragraph, where it down towards the bottom of the paragraph, you should have a blue on four, and it says, the taking of fish stocks or game populations for personal or family consumption. It merely cleans it up and makes it a more definite phrasing there. It says personal or family consumption, and I think it makes for better legislation. And if no one has any heartburn with it, I'd like to move that we make that amendment. And then there's one other amendment. Back on the second page, the same thing, or family consumption. In the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th paragraph, it's all highlighted for you. The other amendment is by Representative Kopanen, and that's the last paragraph where it says the legislature recognizes the personal use of fish and wildlife is a valuable part of Alaska life. Therefore, it is an intent of the legislature that the Board of Fisheries provide fairly and adequately for these personal uses. For example, the board must provide a fair and adequate allocation for the fishery of Chitna on the Copper River, in which Fairbanks residents and other Alaskans participate using dip nets and fish wheels to harvest salmon for personal use. As you recall, back a couple years ago, we addressed this specific group of people in the fishery at Chitna, because traditionally they had for many, many years fished with dip nets down there, and they certainly were subsistence users. And of course, House Bill 288 reinforces the personal use fishery and puts it into law. And I think this is a good amendment to this letter of intent. And I'd like to move both amendments after you've had some time for questions.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Representative Foley, it's assumed when we say personal or family, we mean the immediate family.
Yes, and that's all. All this is covered in the criteria of the bill. Yeah. I mean, everything else is addressed. It's merely, I think it makes it a little clearer to you, doesn't it?
It doesn't. Family consumption. Being a devil's advocate.
Personal, because we established a criteria of personal use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but in order to make it clearer, personal or family consumption.
Immediate family. Then on the last one here, I see what the representative getting at, but as I expressed earlier, that the major concern for the central region is the Kenai area, and that's the whole flesh, and the whole state can do whatever it wants to do, but 90% of the people that are causing the opposite points of view to be brought forward are only concerned about Kenai, forced fishing.
And of course, that's covered in House Bill 288.
Yeah.
We go from the subsistence use to the personal use to the sports fishing use to the commercial use.
And that's the main thing, that personal use.
288, everyone is covered. And it would be the same as it's been in the past few years, that the board had the authority to make these allocations to all of these user groups. And this is one reason why we're pushing so hard for 288, so that we can go back and make sure that there will not be a disruption this coming summer between especially the sports fishermen, which is, I agree, one of the most volatile places that we are addressing. I hope that...
Well, the last question I have, Mr. Chairman, is pertaining to other Alaskans participating using dead nets and fish wheels for personal use. There'd be a lot of people for personal use that just won't have that, don't even want to get into it, but they do fish in line.
Sports fishermen, and they still
in that category.
Have the family consumption covered under that.
Okay.
Is there objection to the amendment to the attempt? Hearing none, so ordered. I will entertain a motion to move out House Bill 21, HCR 31, HCR 26, and letter of intent for Mesa to House Bill 288 to judiciary.
With individual recommendations.
With individual recommendations.
I move, Mr. Chairman.
Is there objections? Hearing none, so ordered. House rules being adjourned at 8:57. Thank you.
You're going to